Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
From a land far, far away where success is a long shot and the struggle really is real, comes a voice from the depths of the concrete, the bowels of the BX, a voice that can't be silenced, here to share his positivity. Welcome to the Hope of the Hood Podcast.
Guys, welcome back to the Hope of the Hood. Thank you so much. This is a very special episode. Hopefully you guys had a pretty good weekend. Thank you for starting your week with us. Shout out to Acast. Shout out to Better Days. That's where we're recording right now. We're recording in the Lower East Side. You guys usually hear me plug the show Better Days Comedy every week, 302 Broome Street. We're in the karaoke room right now, man. You know what I'm saying? They allowed us to get busy, well, you know, in the sense of recording a podcast in the karaoke room, man. It's lit, man. We got a rug on the fucking wall. This shit look like it's like $10 million, man. It feels so good. You just want to rub your pinky toe on it. You know what I'm saying? Depth. Not much going on, but so much going on. My week was crazy. I got a dope-ass email from some dope-ass people. We ain't going to get too into details, but we going to say your boy is on the way. You know what I'm saying? You know when you get that email from the people up there? And they be like, yo, come to the office. And you like, who, me? I'm on my mother couch. You know what I'm saying? Everybody out there that's listened to this podcast before, you know the journey. So it's like, that's the whole sole purpose of the podcast. One of them, too, is to, you know, some people do great things or they become super accomplished and then they tell their story. So in the sense of this is like, you guys are with me on the fucking journey. You know what I mean? Like every step of the way, you know, from when I get a break over here, break over there, the backstory, shit's moving for your boy, man. And I feel good. I feel super good. I feel fortunate. I feel like everybody's well wishes is mad helpful because it hits you sometimes like, yo, nobody didn't never believe in me in my life. And now people make it like along the way, like every step of the way, people were like, yo, I see something. Yo, you got something. Yo, I fuck with you. Yo, la, la, la. And I never got gas, but I feel like I probably wouldn't get to the places that I'm getting without that shit. I mean, of course, you know, your boy got sauce that comes from within. But you guys is like Parmesan cheese on top of my fucking chicken parmesan. You know what I'm saying? Because it was already chicken parm, but then you threw extra parm on it. Way more flavor. All right. Like I said before, we're recording here at Better Days, 302 Broome Street. Stop by. Check it out. Have a drink. I guess this week, he's the reason we're at Better Days. He's one of my fucking dudes I feel fortunate to know. It's cool to know people that... It's cool to have friends that amaze you with what they do. You know what I mean? You put yourself around dope-ass fucking people. And it happens with that. Sometimes I didn't know this motherfucker was a dope-ass extraterrestrial motherfucker after I already met him. I was like, yo, we cool already. And then I do the backlog. I'm like, oh, this dude is an extraterrestrial. This motherfucker's he's lit out here, B. Artwork. Visionary. Fly dude, model, ex-model, never model. Yo, come on, don't fucking play with me.
Model citizen.
Nah, so this is my dude. Is this room named after you, by the way?
Yeah, but that's that. I'm still not sure how that happened.
Hold on, can you tell the people your name, please?
My name is Jason Yarmosky.
Where can they find you?
Here on Wednesdays with you.
Absolutely, true.
But the rest of the time, painting in my studio, most likely.
Where can they see your work? Because right now, before you even we get into this interview, you guys need to put it on pause. Go to my man's shit just one time, just so you could be like, oh, that's what he does. Before you even go any further, before we even delve even deeper.
I mean, I'm online, got a website, myname.com. Not myname.com, but myname.com, jasonyarmosky.com. Instagram. But, you know, I show all over the place. I show, you know, kind of all over internationally. And I got a few shows coming up that I'm excited about. Working on some new work after a long, I don't know, 7-year project I've been doing with my grandparents, which, if you Google me at that point, you'll see the types of paintings I've been doing or conceptually exploring age and time and mortality and all that. But you know, comedy.
But hold on, we're not even going to get into that yet. We're going to get into that. Actually, how did you meet Oliver, the dude that owns the place?
Okay, so this is why I get like a little bashful when you do model things. So I'm an artist, right? I paint, I draw some video. And I don't know, a few years back, 2014, I was contacted. Somebody who followed my work contacted me about this campaign that they thought I would be good for. And I wasn't opposed to it. I was like, cool, yeah, you can put me in on that if you want me to come by or whatever. And that's how I met Rita first. Rita ended up casting me for this Bergdorf Goodman campaign, which is like kind of crazy. I had no idea what I was getting myself into. And then one day I get a text message. I was on a billboard in Soho.
But did you know them though? Did you know Rita?
I met Rita there. She like interviewed me in a sense, like just asking about me, what kind of art I do. Cause this campaign with them was specifically featuring like a musician, a visual artist, a chef, you know, creative types. Mm-hmm, that's just kind of where we've been at lately. It's like, okay, we want to push whatever we're selling using creatives as opposed to, you know, what it used to be with models. Like, so for me, that's a very different thing. And me and Rita, we were cool. We hit it off as friends and met Oliver and, you know, dinners here and there.
So you came in them knowing you were an artist. So it wasn't even like, yo, we need a model. It was just like, yo, we need an artist that's, you know.
Yeah.
Also not ugly. Yo, shout out to all my ugly people out there, because you guys is unique, man. You know what I'm saying? There's mad ugly, good-looking people out there. And there's mad good-looking, ugly people out there. If you keep it up with the talk, you'll understand what I mean. We talking about feelings. So they knew you was an artist, but how did you guys get into the loop with, like,
So basically, we stay friends. We would, you know, have dinners, have drinks, and when I think it was about, it was this past September, they reopened this place, Better Days.
Okay.
And when they reopened, you know, Rita did this. She curated the art here. They, you know, different events going on. A lot of times there's jazz, there's fun things. And, you know, I like hanging out here. It's very easy for me to get here. My friends come here. I know a lot of people. But, you know, the whole comedy thing, how we met even, was just a very organic way of, like, plugging that here is kind of the perfect venue for that in a way of is unassuming, at least for all the I love comedy, you know, and all the kind of comedy shows I've been to, you know, there's a brick wall or there's this, it's a little bit plain in terms of what surrounds the comic on stage. Right. But here it's kind of sexy. It's got like this.
It's like a lounge.
This vibe is loungy. It's
I feel like I could have like 8 bongo drummers behind me, like fucking shorties with pineapples on their head and all of that. You know what I'm saying? Or some real
Cervantes.
Shout out to my geyser Cervantes at the bar, shaking up the mixer at the wrong times of the comedy show. We still love you though. Listen,
it's not the wrong time. He's like, nah,
he get in it sometimes. So like, what would you describe your style at? Like, what do you? Because I'm not. I just know art. I don't know, like, the specific, what's it described as, what you do? Because, like, real quick, I'm sorry. I know.
Yeah,
I'm,
yeah.
Like, but when I first saw, I was on your gram, and I'm like, oh, my man's a dope photographer.
Right. Right.
My man Jose said the same thing. That's what's so funny because he told me, I'm like, I've been taught that. And then as you go down, you look at the caption, it's like pencil on paper or something. Or
yeah,
like,
oil on canvas.
Oil on canvas. And then you're like, get the fuck out of here. My man drew this shit. What do you call that type of art?
I mean,
there's a realistic
element to it, you know. I think that I've always been drawn to classical artworks from the time when I was a kid. You know, the only artists that I knew were Ninja Turtles, straight up, like Leonardo, Michelangelo.
Oh, but you don't mean the Ninja Turtles; you mean the actual.
But the Ninja Turtles are named after actual Renaissance. Right. Yeah, so that's the kind of art I knew. As I got older, I learned a lot more about art, learned a lot more about contemporary art. But I was drawn to that, you know, starting with Leonardo. Then you got the Velázquez, Rembrandts, all this. And I only started oil painting, actually, in 2010 when I was graduating from college. Because when I went to art school, I was just, you know, art schooling it up. Like, mixed media experience, experimental, like, trying different things. But when I started oil painting, it felt right, organic. Because I've been drawing since I was a kid. And, I enjoy classical approach to creating. But you know what is right now? It's 2018, and it's funny because there aren't a lot of people that are painting that way. At least not in a way that feels contemporary,
right?
Because you can paint like that, but it might then look like it did.
Right.
But you know that's one of the more exciting challenges for me as an artist to use those skills that I have in that classical, you know, approach and make it contemporary, make it reflect things that I feel now, you know, in a unique way, I guess.
What would you consider, like, what's your technique?
If I'm trying to make something, create this illusion of something looking real, I'm looking at it differently. I'm almost kind of like rewired my brain and how to perceive information, right? So I'm looking at it in terms of light because, you know, if there's no light, then it's dark. You can't see anything, right? The only way we're able to see anything is based on the way light hits those things. So light hits a form, it shows you what that form is, right? And for me, it could be a face. It could be a whole figure. It could be a chair. Whatever that object is, I observe it based on light, you know. And using, you know, if you have these classical paintings, a lot of paintings, they feel like windows. You're looking into an image, right? From corner to corner to corner to corner, it's this illusion of a real space, a place that you can, you know, believe. But for me, I think one of the more fun things using those that approach in a more contemporary way is realizing that at the end of the day, whether it's a piece of paper or a canvas, you're painting on a flat surface.
Right.
Is the goal, is the agenda to create that entire surface to make that become an allusion to a place or to use it in different ways? You know what I mean? Some parts of that canvas could be realistic. Some parts can be imagined, you know, just come from my imagination without observing the way I would to make something look real necessarily. And I like that, I guess, that combination of things, you know, especially after all the years I had spent working with my grandparents, you know, painting them as my subjects, exploring age and time. And the last body of work that I did this last summer, I had a show at the University of Maine Museum of Art, which specifically focused on my grandmother. She had been going through dementia, Alzheimer's. And I think in a lot of ways, exploring age with them and going down that road that they went, that what she went down and my grandfather's going down, it influenced me creatively in ways I didn't anticipate. Like with the dementia, my grandmother, there was so much going on that was intangible for anyone not experiencing it other than her. So for me witnessing that, I'm trying to figure out ways I can do that, you know, or ways that it would inspire my visual work. And I think in a lot of ways, like this idea of the deconstructing mind, right, made me think about like the deconstructing an image and the way I would perceive what I was trying to do, like how I'm trying to paint something. Maybe I take a different approach. Maybe I do this differently to get this effect that can relate conceptually to what it is I'm trying to say, you know.
It's almost like when you have your grandparents kind of like, you have your grandparents in like a Batman suit or like a bunny. And so it's like you're taking, you're mixing up. You're not mixing, but you're being conceptual. Like some people, like when I see it, I didn't get what it was. Pretty much, I just knew it was dope and amazing. So it's like I'm just like, yo, this is blowing my mind. But I didn't know, you know what I mean?
Well, you know, initially, when I started working with them, the costumes, whether it was like children's costumes or superhero costumes, those costumes were all just metaphors.
Right.
You know, they weren't specifically, oh, this is an old Batman. It was this man wearing a Batman outfit. What does that make you think? Like, when you're a kid, it's acceptable to wear that. But is it when you're old? It's not that this is a fading, aging superhero. But what is a hero? And how do you relate that to humanity? How do you relate that to what we are conditioned to understand in terms of our life, our aging, especially we live, you know, in America, in a society where we don't like celebrating age because that's something we fear.
Oh, I'm getting older.
We celebrate youth, right? Everything is about that. And once again, that's conditioning. That's what we're taught. And that's the journey. We're all, you know, in the same place, figuring out what we believe and how we want to look at things, you know, our perspective on the world. And art and comedy, I'm sure for you, it's the same thing. It's just like, you know, I'm inspired by what I don't know. So in my work, I'm less concerned about finding answers in it, but more interested in asking questions. Because, you know, if I could explore what interests me and there's a personal connection with what I'm doing, of course, other people are going to feel something, you know, because I feel it. That'll translate. If I wasn't into it, why would you be? And in the comedy, that's what makes, in my opinion, like, jokes so funny, or they hit something, because all of these jokes come from a real place.
Right.
They're real things that maybe aren't funny, you know, or
something to get people to feel something, because it comes from a feeling. It doesn't come from, yo, let me, like, one of my things is like, not to say like I may do topical things, but I try to not be as topical, because the topical to me, I'd rather be general than topical, but specific in my general. Mm-hmm. Whether it be an emotion or like, as opposed to what happened in the news today, you know what I mean? Like, obviously, it's gonna give everybody some sort of a feeling what happened, but to kind of be more in tune with myself, I'd rather not know, or just be in my own bubble mentally, so I can dig deeper into me, I guess. So I'm like forced to focus on like, yo, how do I feel? Why do I feel? I might not figure it out for a while, but
those things are more timeless than what happened yesterday to so-and-so, right?
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Right. What are some of the obstacles that you face, you know, in what you want to achieve when you're painting or whatever you're putting? Because I'm pretty sure you do other things. So whatever you focus your creativity in, what are the biggest obstacles, and then how do you overcome those obstacles?
I mean, well, I can start. The first thing that comes to mind, and I think a lot of creative people are like this, but I'm my toughest critic. So, you know, a lot of times I'll make a painting or a drawing, and, you know, sometimes I'll make a painting, I'll put it aside, or I'll even roll it up off the canvas and store it, and then, you know, revisit it later, see something different than I didn't see, you know, when I was working on it. I work on lots of pieces at the same time. So when people ask me how long it takes or this, that, it's hard to say because I kind of always have my hand in something. But, you know, those are definitely obstacles because I'm very specific in what I'm trying to say with these works. I'm not just necessarily making works, putting them out there and letting them do what they do. And I feel what I feel later. Mm-hmm. I want to feel good about everything I put out there and everything I'd make, whether I need to, as an artist, I don't need to explain anything. And I think, you know, there's such a subjectivity to art, You know, people project what they feel when they see something. You know, it's a bonus, if especially if the viewer is interested to know what the artist was intent, right, what they were thinking. But at the end of the day, like, I do put a lot into my work, whether I need to share that or not. So that's also that. Those are the challenges, you know, for me. It's my journal in a sense, you know, like those questions I have, those explorations I'm making. It's in that, in those works, you know, and always with it's very personal to me. Whoever I use, you know, I've used my grandparents for 7 years. I'm using my close friend for all of those years. I've been painting my grandparents, actually, and you know, it's
is that something where you're like, do you only paint your people that you have some sort of an emotional connection with, or does it come out better that way?
Yeah, that's just me. I don't know what that is about, because there are lots of artists throughout history that just have models, you know, that, oh, whether it's a muse or it's just somebody that filled what that idea was. But for me, I always seem to really do my best work when I'm working with somebody I know, right, knew, have some, have connection with. It's case by case, I guess.
That's just kind of bugged out. So what's some of your influences? What's some of your influences in, like, I know you said Leonardo DiCaprio and Donatello and them niggas and all of that shit, but like, who's any other kind of influences you have?
Yo, Titanic, best painting ever.
Word, son. That shit, come on, man.
I have a lot. I really do. I mean, on for different reasons, you know. When it comes to social, political art, I'm a big fan of, specifically, there are a lot of photographers. There's, you know, Cindy Sherman, there's Carrie Mae Weems. And these artists, I think, are just brilliant. I love, you know, I went from looking at art from like a Velázquez Rembrandt perspective to, like, I just went to the David Hockney exhibition at the Met that recently ended. I was just blown away by his work in the 60s and 70s, especially those pieces, like looking at those. I mean, there are specific exhibitions that do that to me in terms of influence or what inspires me. I remember, I guess within the last year or two, the other exhibitions that really stood out to me was when Nicole Eisenman had an exhibition at the New Museum. That was super dope. And also Kerry James Marshall at the Met Brewer. And those are exhibitions that I'll go to and I'll be like, whoa, and I'm going back. Like, I'll go back the next week, or I'll try to see it a few times.
How do you take it in as a, do you take it in, like, what the fuck were they thinking about? Or do you, like, how do you, blown away?
You know what it is that gets me the most excited now, creatively, is, like, when I see an artist just do it. They go for it. They're like, yo, they just fucking did it. But, yeah, no, I get inspired. Because, you know, especially if I grew up as a kid looking at these classical artists, that was during a time when art was way more objective. Mm-hmm. They're painters, they're sculptors, and they're creating, there's an agenda, you know? And now, ever since, like, the Duchamp, the Warhol, art is just different. It's become everything else, you know? You can really do what you want, especially today. Today is what are you making that makes somebody feel something? Or not. Or whatever it is. It's just, there's so many different ways to make art. There's so many ways to see art. The internet's changed everything. I mean, if you think about what art was before the camera, the painting was the only way you can really replicate an image, like a person. That's a portrait of this person that existed, because you don't have a photo of them. Now, not just with photography, but with technology, we could do everything. So how are your paintings gonna be different from what it was? Because a lot of people today can't paint as well as they painted then. So what's going to separate, what's going to set you apart, you know? And I think there's so many different types of creating art in terms of that, in this age of technology, that I don't know. I just get inspired when I go to a show and see an artist do something that just feels so raw, straight from them, you know? It's hard to create within a vacuum, because we live in this collective consciousness where, like, you know, it's hard to arrive at that, you know? It's like we're surrounded by images and art and everything every day, bombarded with that, whether you're on a social media or whatever. So for you to be able to, like, just look inside yourself and create this thing that's super unique, like, there's no way I'd ever see that if you didn't make that. Right. You just, that's your own world. And those artists stand out to me. Those artists who use the canvas differently, you know? Yeah.
Do you have other aesthetic approaches beyond your current series, as far as like realism?
Well, the new work I'm doing now is fun for me, because I'm combining, you know, that observational painting or drawing, that idea of making something, creating that illusion of reality, and combining that with more my imagination, I guess, you know, making images, painting things outside of my head, and combining those elements together is what's making art exciting for me. That's the other thing. I think, like, you know,
I'm gonna front ask you real quick. Don't forget what you're about to say. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. Yeah. But I seen some shit at your studio the other day. I was like, oh, that shit is crazy.
Yeah.
It was like somebody laying, but then like it looked like a ghost coming around them. That shit was bugged out.
That's a great example. That was actually one of the that piece was a piece that I had rolled up that I didn't at the time want to look at. And then when I unrolled it, I looked at it, saw something else, added something to it, and that piece became like the prototype for this new work I'm trying to do.
You think it was because sometimes maybe it's like, so for me, it's like a joke, right? Of an idea that I had. Do you think it's because you weren't ready for it? Mm. Not to say it wasn't good, not to say because it sparked from a great idea, but like you weren't ready. Is that
absolutely
it?
There's this quote. It's a quote, it's a saying, it's a no man steps into the same river twice, for he is not the same man and it is not the same river.
Damn, that shit was deep, son. That shit make me want to fucking change my lifestyle or something. Or like, I want to go to Saskatchewan. Ain't you from Saskatchewan? Is that where you learned how to paint at a young age?
I'm from Poughkeepsie.
Oh, yeah. Well, shout out to my Poughkeepsie crew. Yo, what would you say your brand is? Like, what's your Nike swoosh?
Well, I got Reebok Classics on right now.
I mean, I'm just, what's your Reebok fucking Atroctagon, whatever that is. What's that for you? What's that?
You mean
like who are you, like what's your representation? What's your swoosh? What's your polo horse? What's your fucking?
I don't know, man. I don't know. I mean, I know I pretty much dress the same every day.
It's not fashion. I just mean like
who
you are. Like who what's your brand? You know, for me, it's like, yo, the Hope of the Hood. That's my brand.
The Hope of the Hood. Well,
what's your brand?
I don't really know if that's for me to even say. I'm not sure because I'm so. I'll think about that. That's homework.
My dude. What do you want your legacy to be? When you out of here, what you want them to say about your boy? About you, I mean, not me.
I don't know what I want them to say.
What do you
want to
leave behind? Not even what they're going to say. What do you want to leave behind?
What I guess I want to leave behind is what I'm doing. Like, for me, creating these paintings, when you look back, the art has been there since the beginning of time, whether it's like caveman drawings, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's a visual way of, it's a language. And to explore, express, you know, culturally, document it. You know, the idea of being part of that history, that art history for me is special. And I think that to fit into that dialogue, whatever you create has to reflect the time in which you're living, because it's like a timeline. It's documenting that. And, you know, I've been inspired by different types of approaches to creating art throughout history. I've been inspired by the classical, the Renaissance, the this, that, all the way up until now, which, you know, there's some contemporary stuff that, you know, I would collect that I don't even do. That's not necessarily what I'm doing, but I'm inspired by it. So figuring, being part of that dialogue, finding my own language is what I'm still doing. I'm never going to stop doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And within that language, talking about things that I want to explore, you know, that I'm interested in. I think that's what I want to leave behind, because if I'm asking those questions, there's got to be other people that have similar questions, you know? And if I could do that in my work and somebody could see a painting, you know, see a drawing, see a video that I make, something that makes them feel something that they can project what they felt or think about onto, you know, that's what I want to do with my work. I do it for myself, and then in naturally it's for other people too.
Like, I was talking to my aunt recently, and she's like a huge sci-fi, like from this. I felt like I knew about sci-fi before a lot of kids in my school because how big of a Star Trek fan she was.
Or
my grade, at least, not my school. But so I was like, yo, what got you into that? And she was like, yo, I think it was like, she's like X-Files, but like the old X-Files, not the X-Files we know, like the 90s shit, like some X-Files before that. I'm like, I didn't even know they had X-Files before that. And then she was like, after that, it was like Star Wars in 77. But she was like, to see something that you felt like nobody else felt but you. Like, there was nobody that questioned, is there other life on this world?
Right.
Is it like, so to actually visually see it, like you said, it represented that time of, yo, space. It was like right after the space travel and all this stuff's going on, where people are like, yo, are we the only ones? Can we tickle our imaginations?
that's what we were just talking about, this, you know, this idea of what that conditioning, you're brought into this world being taught this, thinking things are like that. That's conditioning, right? But, you know, come on. We're not the end all be all. There's something way bigger than this. Whatever it is you believe in, but you know, people believe in things to find comfort in things outside of this. So much unknown. These questions could be asked through different mediums of art, creating this, science, whatever it is. But even science could take you so far, you know, because we're the ones creating. It's that there's a limit. And I was just saying before, like I watched this really cool video the other day, and this woman, she had these two boxes in front of her. She would, you know, these boxes were labeled, and one of them was like past, right? And one was future. And she's like, we're always under the preconditioned to think like, okay, so the past influences the future. But if you remove those labels, what are those boxes? What is time, right? Why does it have to be left to right, right to left? It could be the future influences the past. I mean, that's trippy to think about, but to me,
that's almost like when some people say evolution. I heard Lord Jamal say this the other day. He's like, people think evolution is only moving forward. It might evolve backwards. It might evolve sideways. Like, it's not evolution.
Physics, yeah. Quantum entanglement. There's all these different theories out there that are interesting, you know, that are like, talk about that. What is that linear idea of, you know, this thing, this idea of reality? What is reality? You know what I'm saying? What is it made up of? I believe so much so, based on my own experiences, other people's experiences, there's so much magic that, like, you know, you felt it before, that you can manifest things. You really want something, you can make it happen, it'll happen.
All the time.
But you have to do it. It's like, you know,
it's a conscious decision.
It's a conscious decision, but that's the thing about the consciousness. Like,
it's an unconscious conscious decision.
Well, yeah, there's exactly. So there's like a destiny for us. There's this thing out there. And if we continue on the path we're on, we have to make those decisions and do that.
Right.
But we can dictate that. Our decisions, our choices that we make take us to a certain point. And if there's something you want, you can actually get that.
Hell yeah.
You know? And that is some sci-fi. I mean, like, you talk about, you know, watching all that with your aunt. Twilight Zone.
Right.
I love that. You
know? Talking about too. But I didn't watch it with her. I was just astonished that she was so... And you think, this is like a black... To me, this is a black woman from, you know, Brooklyn. So it's like the fact that she... That was her thing, though. Like, when Star Trek came on, she was into that like it was church or something. We were like, wow. And I couldn't get down with it back then. I was a kid. I didn't know. Like, it just was a lot of talk to me.
But it is kind of like church. That's dope.
Yeah.
I like that.
But yo, my dude, Jason, we got to get this party started. People are waiting for us. I hear them calling our names outside of the door. They're not calling our names, but somebody said that they were with the podcast. I heard them. I think that was Taylor, probably. Shout out to Taylor Dalton. Thank you so much, man. You super dope. You can find his work online. We'll put his stuff in. We'll put his info in the description. Follow him. Check him out.
Damn, I'm sorry.
Purchase some work.
I wanted to ask you questions, Petey.
That's for the next. We could do a part two. Yo, my dude, thank you so much. Appreciate you.
Yeah.
Guys, come back. I hope you enjoyed the episode. Come back next Monday. Shout out to Acast. You can find us there. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Hope of the Hood. It's your boy. Have a good week.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.